pop and stuff you're talking about, somebody shows up and they want a meal or they want a place to crash. The vast majority of the city's homeless resource money goes into actually helping people who want to get out of homelessness and are willing to do something to improve their condition. We still do run some shelter in the wintertime because I don't think that any city wants to have people freezing to death on their streets or starving. But that is a very small percentage of the money goes to actually just funding programs for people that are not willing to do something to get back on their feet.
So you think that's changed over the years, huh?
I think so, but it's...
Well, go downtown. No, it hasn't. Nobody wants to go downtown. I don't know anybody that wants to shop downtown.
Linda, there's a lot of people.
Go to any county seat in the state of California and in Oregon or in Washington State. And any county seat that provides services for people through, or where people go to jail and get let out. If you get arrested in your town or in Aptos, you end up getting let out of jail in downtown Santa Cruz. You'll find that you have these kinds of problems. Santa Cruz is not unique in this situation.
We have a business in Saratoga. They don't have those problems.
Go to San Jose. Saratoga's not a county seat. You don't have those kinds of problems in Scotts Valley either.
Well, you don't have to allow them.
I think you made your point. Thank you, Linda.
Thanks for calling.
A call to 479-1080, the Saturday special. The lines are open. Suzanne in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday special with Bill Wattenberg, Mike Rockin, and MZ. You're on the air.
Hello. I'd like to make a statement. Marxism is not a failure. China is a good example of that, successful. Capitalism is a failure. It's exhibited every day by our lowering living standards. And socialism is a younger but a better idea based on human needs instead of exploitation. Despite Wattenberg's oversimplification, socialism is the hope of the future for humankind. And I don't think that Bill Wattenberg is capable of understanding socialism or debating Mike Rodkin.
Now, was that a nice thing to say about the smartest man in the world?
No, that's very fair game. And let me ask this lady something. Let's see where she's coming. You use China as an example. Do you believe China is socialist today or even carrying out Marxist theory? Do you believe that? Yes, it's absolutely socialist today. Do you know how silly you sound? Do you consider what they call themselves?
They call themselves socialists. They abandoned.
Do you think they have universal health care for their people? Do you believe
They're working on it, and they'll have it.
You got to be crazy. They have less than anywhere in the world.
They have the richest number of new millionaires in the world,
and China's more capitalist than we are.
China is a very contradictory country that's got a lot of socialist elements in what they do. Children there do not go hungry in the way that they do, even in this country and other places.
Where do children go hungry in this country, Mike Rockton?
On the other hand, they've got a run of...
Where do children go hungry in this country, Mike Rockton?
Watsonville, California.
That's because they're either illegal or they don't know how to go to get the services that are there for any hungry child in this country. When you find that, you'll find invariably their parents using the money because they're drunks or drug addicts. Or there's a reason they can't go to the agency that'll give them money. No child starves in this country.
Are all the people in Latin America also just lazy or...
We're not talking about Latin America. We're talking about the United States of America that has built a system that the universities like yours don't even want to talk about.
So, Bill, what you're now doing is...
Bill, what you're comparing
is an advanced industrialized country like the United States against a place, China, that was backward, undeveloped, and I don't compare them at all. That's what you're doing.
So
if you want to ask the question.
No, this lady used it as an example and doesn't know what in the world she's talking about.
But you have to compare China.
What the world she's talking.
Bill,
China
you have to compare China with China now the way it was.
Bill Wattenberg.
But what's the difference? Why compare with what it was before? What it was before is what their leaders abandoned as a failed system. a clumsy attempt at Marxism. You know that.
No, I'm talking about before communism came to China. It was an undeveloped country.
Well, sure, it was bad. So was the Soviet Union. So was Europe. So was everywhere in the world.
Which is why those places are likely...
Until a philosophy that is adopted by this country and many others began to be developed, okay?
But, Phil, see, at the bottom line, your view is, and I don't deny that there's lots of people very successful in this country, very happy and very popular, and that for the most part...
Yeah, 130 million middle class in this country, that's how many.
All of whom are feeling totally threatened now because since 1970, their real wages, and this is just statistical information, their real wages have been falling on average since 1970. They go up and down and so forth, but over the overall trend down since 1970, you have a situation where... Most people in this country, and I'll assert this boldly, it's absolutely the case. Most people in this country don't like their jobs very much. They do them because they have to. And so if the choice is, do I love capitalism or do I want to be starving and have nothing? Well, of course, people will live with capitalism the way it works.
Well, what are you flipping this starving and have nothing? You're wallowing in riches compared to the rest of the world. You know that.
Part of the rest of the world is suffering.
I'll tell you again, I defy you to show me a starving child in this nation for which there is not assistance from this government if you go get it. That's how benevolent we are in this country. I defy you to show me a country even considering Marxism that comes within 10% of that. I defy you to show me such a country that isn't
numbers,
full of people who want to come here. How come they all want to come here?
I can show you huge numbers of people on Native American reservations in this country who are not simply the result of drug problems or something.
Yeah, you can go over to your idealistic countries and you can find gypsies in the same situation. You can find indigenous people who have been misused. I agree with that. But that doesn't justify suggesting that you've got an utopian ideal somewhere that's going to replace what we have. How come you don't teach a little of what's good about this
because
country?
Because I do teach a lot of stuff about what that's
where.
What
where I
in my
heard,
Marxism
I
class. You know, obviously, this country's been incredible. I mean, the capitalist system, I start this off the same way Karl Marx starts off. The capitalist system's
I'll
incredibly productive system.
I'll give you an apology, but I'm going to make it an effort to go find some students in your class.
Do you think that,
put them on the
do
air
you think
to tell
Karl
me
Marx,
how much time you spent on the values
Bill,
of this
do you think
country?
That Karl Marx...
Let Suzanne talk.
Let me just say quickly. You think that Karl Marx did not say that capitalism was an incredibly productive system, that it offered incredible improvements in the life of the world? That's all he writes about. Then he says, now let's look at the contradictory nature of this system. And then he talks about how it's both good and bad, and how if you want to change the world in better ways, you cannot simply rely on a capitalist system.
Well,
he doesn't deny it has positive aspects.
He believed in socialism, but I'm telling you, again, when you have a theory in science anywhere else, and after 100 years and the most monumental experiments you can do to prove whether it's right or wrong, tell you it's a miserable failure. Why are we spending so much time on that and not at least some of the advantages of what has been a success? Okay?
Let Suzanne on the phone answer that question. Yeah.
I just like to reiterate that socialism is a younger but a better system, and it's the hope of the future for humankind. It's not a failure. Capitalism is a failure. And I don't think that the so-called smartest man in the world is capable of understanding socialism.
Did you ever go to a socialist country and live there for any length of time?
Did you?
Yeah, I spent some time in East Germany. I just got to tell you, you should have been dipped in that, my friend, you know. You should have had a good taste of that.
Now,
look, for the price of your next welfare check, you can get a ticket to Cuba. Why don't you go down and bathe in the glory of socialism?
But, Bill, your argument would be...
That's a lie.
Bill, why don't you go to Bangladesh, which is a capitalist country, and see how people live there, and to be responsible for that, because capitalism...
Are you claiming that's a comparison with this
I'm
nation?
Claiming that
no,
the nature
on,
of your
on.
Argument is that if you look at some place that has a bad result from a theory, that inevitably the theory, instantly we know it's a bad theory and has no value. Adam Smith must be full of it, because I can find you places, as you're suggesting, where capitalism has been a disaster.
Well, sure you can. You can find counterexamples everywhere. But when you find all of the major...
Was it something I said, Suzanne?
Thanks for calling, Suzanne.
Something Bill said?
Hey, ask her to call us after she spent 6 months in Cuba, would you please? I really like that.
I really believe everything
she tells us.
Bill, ask the people of Cuba. Cuba's got a lot of problems, serious problems.
Why in the hell are tens of thousands trying to come to this country every month?
Because we're incredibly wealthy and they're an underdeveloped...
To come, Why in the hell are tens of thousands of ordinary, working, desperate families risking their lives to come to this country, Mike Rutkin?
Because we have an economic engine that provides possibilities for people, and Cuba is an underdeveloped country that the United States systematically repressed for decades and caused those
How
people...
How do we repress them? They're on their own. We didn't
we
take anything
established
away from them.
Their dictator.
They have practiced socialism for 45 years now on their own.
Before
How
that...
How can you say it's our fault, huh?
What I can say is that the Cuban people moved to a socialist society or their attempts to build one because of the way in which the dictator that we had propped up in their country.
The people
are you going
to
deny
move
that?
To that society.
Are you going to argue that the United States did not force their dictatorship
on them? It was forced on them. They didn't move to it by any election. It was forced on them. You know that. And why are tens of thousands risking their lives wanting to come to this country every month?
Can That's you, a very tell, good point.
Because there's economic possibilities here that you don't have
do
an undeveloped country.
Do you ask your students that question?
Absolutely. And the question would be, is it more because
get,
are they...
I have to get some of them on the air. I hear from them quite frequently.
Bill, are they running from the concept of communism to the concept of capitalism, or are they running from an underdeveloped country where there's not enough jobs, they don't have resources, because it's been underdeveloped, systematically underdeveloped over, like, a century by the United States.
Is that our fault?
Yes, absolutely. We supported the dictatorship that created what Cuba was.
It's the fault of the United States of what's happening in Cuba today, 50 years after?
No. Until 1959, the United States...
Well, who in the hell cares about 59? We're here, and this is a whole new generation. We did not dictate a thing that has happened to them in the last 40 years, okay?
So
not
look,
one thing.
What is different about people leaving by the tens of thousands from the Dominican Republic, a capitalist country in the same level of poverty as Cuba?
Where are they going?
And Cuba. To the United States in both cases. Because they want to go where the money and the jobs are. It has nothing to do with the ideology of the two places.
Do you see, do you know the system in place in Dominican Republic for
I
the
do,
last
I know
100
it.
Years?
I know it really well, yes.
Do you know why they have nothing left down there?
Why do you, let me tell me
They
that.
Were under a dictatorship, you know that.
Which we propped up. We invaded
Which we
them.
We propped up
in 1965. We invaded them when they tried to have
it's,
a.
It's,
they
oh,
had
it's
a bill. They had a group of people who were mixed, some socialists and some just sort of like you know we describe them as liberal or progressive folks. In 1965, they took over their own government with a person who wanted to get out from underneath the United States imperialism. We sent the U.S. Marines and invaded them because we're not interested in having anybody take their own path. And yes, so we're
that was the, that
so
was
we
the
are
only
partially
we
responsible
down.
For
you know
going
I would
on.
Really I would really enjoy going through in depth some of these things because you constantly come back with some example of the evils of America and yet you are bathing in its benefits. That's what really
does
pisses
anybody
me
want
off.
To know?
You know I'm on the Berkeley faculty. I'm on the faculty of the University of California for years, and I'll tell you, I really resent this attitude. I want to tell you to your face. You have been preaching the evils of this system, and it's not perfect by any means. And you bathe in the riches of it, and then criticize people who dare think.
Bill, unfortunately, Bill, you don't know what I teach or how I teach it. I do not.
The hell I don't. And I'm going to get some of those students now on
okay,
the air.
Please do.
Back on there and let you hear what they told me.
Does anybody care what Ron and Carmel might have to say?
Yes.
Yes.
Ron, talk to
Ron,
us.
Ron, you're on the air on KLCO.
Okay. A real simple question for Mr. Rutkin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. A couple of weeks ago, you were on KSEO hosting. I called in with a question on the self-certification program in the city of Santa Cruz, which was instituted on your watch.
Yeah, for the listeners, this is a program about rental units, and the owners of the rental units can self-cert. Rather than having the inspection at the start, it begins with self-certification. Go on. I just want people to know what you're talking about.
Well, basically, the city's going to go into everyone's unit and inspect it eventually, whether they like it or not.
Yes, that's
but
correct.
What I brought up earlier was the costs involved,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned that the costs were really not that large because it was being subsidized by the UC.
That was one of the reasons, yes.
Okay. Where does the UC get its money? From higher tuition or additional taxes on the citizens?
Both.
So what
although
if the UC
been,
cannot pay for the program? What if the UC cannot pay for the program? Then who has to bear the burden of the cost? It's on the burden. That burden is on the shoulders of the landlords, who then have to pass it on to the tenants, who may be the students who are trying to go through UC but are having great difficulties because of finances. So either UC is increasing their tuition to pay for this program, or, in addition, the cost of this program are being passed on to these children, these students,
while they're in school. And the last thing, I think, is, you know, by your having the program instituted and the government then going into each individual's unit for inspection, I believe there is a loss of liberty. And with a loss of liberty, I believe there is socialism.
Well, let me just say there's two things going on. One is the cost of the program. The amount the university is contributing to it is trivial. They got a $2.4 billion budget, and from that, and they spent more. 3 weeks ago, they gave one guy a $750,000 pay increase, who's the financial guy that runs the UC hospitals. That's far more than they spend on all these programs around the state doing anything for local communities. So the amount of money the university is spending is not the cause of student fee increases.
That's a red herring. The taxes are coming from either the people through the UC to this program, and the bottom line is the taxes are coming from the people.
So the city of Santa Cruz was faced, as I told you last time when I was on the air, the city of Santa Cruz was faced with something like, and everybody agrees with this number, something like 3,000 illegal units in our community. And the question for us was, should we look the other way, as we've done for decades, and just let people live in unsafe places that are built without permits, without codes, without not following anything you're supposed to do? Or should we find some way to find those illegal units and either bring them up to code or abate them so nobody lives in a fire trap? City of Santa Cruz decided it was worth some tax money, and we managed to reduce that by getting the university to contribute, but some tax money to do something about those illegal units. Now, you might say that that's socialism. I think that's simply regulation under a capitalist system of stopping abuses. Why should the honest homeowners who go get permits and then rent their units out to people legally have to face competition from people that didn't build the things legally? And I can show you some places in Santa Cruz, people living in basements with like that are a five foot ceiling, have to crawl around the place, and they're paying like, you know, $400 a month rent for a little chicken coop kind of place. This is right in the middle of downtown Santa Cruz. And there's a lot of these places, and everybody knows they're there. And so we thought we needed to do something about it. And you can't fix a problem like that for free. So, yes, there's some tax cost to it.
So these people couldn't call the city?
Pardon?
They couldn't call the city and say, hey, I've got some illegal problems here with my landlord. Instead, you assess it against the entire city?
Because each of those people would be evicted from their unit when they did it.
What do you mean they would be evicted?
You think the landlord wouldn't figure out that the tenants are the ones that called in this problem?
Do you think the landlord would have to fix the problem?
I think that once they called it in, eventually they'd be in the code system and have to fix it, yes.
Yeah, and then it would be up to snuff. But I think your projections were based upon your assumption that there are 3,000 illegal units.
All right. Well, you know what? We're getting off track here. So
MZ, I do want to comment on one thing. So in the course of this, Mike again brings up and makes some off-the-wall statements about the UC system has $2.5 billion. And they just gave a big raise to the UC San Francisco. This one has been really beat to death in the past, and it's really it really tears the university down. The $2.5 billion you're talking about is the budget for the entire system, isn't it, Mike?
Yes, that's the number I was using.
Not Santa Cruz. $2.5 billion is for total 10 campuses.
Right.
Number two, you know full well, the high salaries of the University of San Francisco are because those are medical doctors who bring in more money to the campus than they are paid. You do know that, don't you?
Right, but the person I'm talking about was an administrator who was given a $750,000 pay increase.
A former, and he is also a medical doctor in charge of a highly profitable medical unit that he could be running out on his own on the side.
So
that is really,
meanwhile, they're putting money into parts of this. This is a lot of
the why don't you go up and dismantle the UC San Francisco campus and then do without another $100 million of profit to the university that pays your pension? Now, does that make sense to spew that kind of crap out?
Does it make sense when you're in the middle of an economic crisis, student fees are going up, student classes are being cut, and the university is in a serious crisis to send money to places that are already making money and cut undergraduate education?
I'm telling you, they make $100 million profit for the university. Don't you hear me? Did you ever bother to look at it?
But
I was in the middle of this analysis 2 years ago.
And I'm in it right now.
The San Francisco Chronicle and all the socialists were screaming.
Bill, show me $1 in the UC system that flows from hospitals back into general education. $1.
Are you kidding?
The irony is the most profitable parts of the system. I'm amazed that you're a
faculty member of the University of California. The University of San Francisco campus money goes in the general fund of the University of California system after expenses and salaries are paid.
If you look at
every campus is that way.
Actually, talk to the state auditor, which I've done.
Go talk to the auditor. Yeah, I'll dig it out for you again. Put it on the air.
There's so many callers I want to get to. Okay.
Yeah, let's get some callers. It's sad. All right.
Terry and Capitola, welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. 479-1080 is the phone number you called. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah, so many things to talk about. You know, my girlfriend's from China, and she grew up the first half of her life in China and the second half of her life in the United States. And I find there's no confusion in her mind as to the advantages of socialism versus capitalism. And I've spent a fair bit of time in China. I've been over there about 5 times. And when Michael says that nobody goes hungry in China, I'm shocked to hear him say that. There's no government program to feed people in China. Are you aware of any?
I think he's asking you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no. If I said that there's nobody hungry in China, that's not true, and I misspoke.
People routinely go hungry in China. Right. And basically, China is divided into two sections. I once heard, I think it was Jonah Goldberg says, China is much like the United States. There's about 300 million people that live about like they do in the United States. There's a middle class, there's an upper class, there's a lower class, and they live pretty similarly. He says, then you add in 1 billion people who basically don't have a pot to piss in. And that was my observation in China, too, is that if you're in Shanghai or Beijing or Chongqing or Chengdu or any of the larger cities, they're fairly, you know, Western European, and they are that way because China went the capitalist road under Deng Xiaoping. China can be divided in basically two halves. There was I was there for National Day about 3 years ago when that was the 60th anniversary of the revolution, which is a big deal in China. And it's funny, I was sitting there watching in the hotel room because we weren't allowed to go down to watch the ceremonies because the whole city was shut down for security. And I watched an English language translation of Hu Jintao's speech. And as he sat there and touted, you know, this goes to the lady who was on before that says, what do they call themselves, socialists? So he's sitting there in his, looks like an Armani suit, driven up in a limousine, slick back dyed hair because he always dyes his hair so he looks young. Has no doubt a good hairdresser, and he's given a speech about how socialism is the heart of the Chinese experiment, and it's the life of the people. And my girlfriend Sarah and I were sitting there saying, she says, yeah, everybody around China is just laughing in their bowl of noodles, hearing him say that because the era when China went capitalist road is so starkly different from when China, under the Mao era, the Deng Xiaoping era and forward. They were like night and day, just as Eastern Europe, when it was communist versus when it's when capitalist, is night and day, just as East Germany, when it was communist versus when it reunited with Germany, is night and day, just as South Korea is infinitely more prosperous than North Korea, just as, and you could go on and on down the list. So my question to you really is, this experiment of Marxism socialism has gone on for roughly 100 years through roughly 4 or 5 generations. It's been tried on virtually every continent. Countries huge in population like China, huge in landmass like Russia, tiny like Cuba and Nicaragua and other places. It's been tried in European forms. It's been tried in socialism light like in Eastern Europe, socialism heavy as in China. And every single place it's failed. And the thing I always marvel at when I hear people tout the beauties and the wonders of the workers' paradise that is created by Marxism, I'm sitting there thinking, God, have you not looked at the lessons of history? There's 2 billion people living in misery with gulags, hundreds of millions of people dead under these systems, and you think it's a better system than what we have here?
No, I don't. As I said earlier, I don't agree with Susan who had called in earlier, and apparently, I don't want to misstate her position either, but apparently thought that that China is a great model for folks. I said at the very beginning, I don't think it is, and I think what you have to compare is, how did China look before they had a revolution and the way it looks now? You want to make a comparison between two places. The way to do that is to compare what's going on in India and what's going on in China, or between what's going on in some other place that's large, underdeveloped, and, you know, experienced colonialism in an earlier period. And if you look at that, you'll see that, you know, no, China's not a model for us. I don't think the United States should move in the direction of Cuba or some other undeveloped country. We should develop our own society in a way that makes sense for us. So I, unlike the earlier speaker, I I'm not saying China's a model for us. It's an undeveloped country. I'm just saying I bet they're better off than they were before they had their revolution.
Okay. And I'll make another comment to you. This goes
Terry, we've got so many callers. We want to give them a chance here, okay? I think you make it real quick. If you can do it like in...
It's real quick. I'm a businessman. I own a corporation. I started a corporation. It's my second. The first one was an abysmal failure and ended up in a bankruptcy, and I lost everything I had. I sat there and took the risk again and created a second business, and now it's a success. I employ 40 people who are paid good wages, and I do it not because I think I can dictate to the market what they're going to buy from me. It's because I ask the market, what does it want? I think, dear God, how can I possibly give it to them?
Yeah, I think this is the Terry that I know, Thank you very much for,
thanks, Terry.
the great lunch, Terry. Okay, all right, appreciate your call to the Saturday special, 479-1080 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Owen in Salinas. Owen, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air with Bill Wattenberg and Mike Rocky.
Yeah. Hey, he talked about the Green Giant plant in Watsonville.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, before that, if you remember the strike that town went through?
Yes.
Well, that was a direct result of the union. I went through that strike. The place, place I worked at was half of it was burnt down. And the union gave Watsonville Canning an unfair advantage for 3 years with Crusetti and Shaw.
Yeah.
And then that 3 years went by and they wanted it again. And that's when the workers went on strike because, you know, it disrupted the balance of that town. And after that strike, Crusetti's was gone. Watsonville Canning evolved into something less. Shaw went under eventually, was bought out.
This is
and
all
that was
true.
That was all result of union.
No, that was, let me just say, I
the
think...
The union gave Watsonville Canning an unfair labor advantage for 3 years because all the unions, whether you were a line mechanic or you were a woman that worked on the line or worked refrigeration, you all had the same contract. The only thing they had to do was do better at selling and producing a better product. But as far as labor, they all had the same, were all on an even keel. And that three-year advantage Watsonville Canning had disrupted the apple cart, and then they wanted it again, and then that led to all the chaos and discontent. Then you had the quake and all that, but that was a union thing that started
that.
You know,
but the bigger context for this, the picture is that these jobs are all moving to places that have much lower wages outside the United States.
But see, here's another thing. When you mentioned, you brought in the Hispanic women, right, that lost their jobs.
It was mostly Hispanic women, yes.
Yeah, well, there's something that a lot of Hispanics have over, white people, is that they have the option of going back to the infrastructure in Mexico. If things really get bad, they always have the option to go back to their town or village, to their families, extended families. We don't have that option. We're here. We're stuck with what all the socialist policies have wrought so far. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, Owen and Salinas, for saying that. I want to add real quickly this email I got from Alan Mull, who basically says a lot of the same thing. He says a lot, but he ends and said, the strike managed to bankrupt that company, I'll be Watsonville Canning and so forth.
That's simply not true. They were making profit at the average rate of the United States when they made the decision to move to Irapuato.
Well, let me read. I better read the whole thing then, because I don't want to put out the wrong information. This is from Alan and to MZ. I just wanted to enter a comment on the Green Giant plant closing. Watsonville was the center of numerous strikes and vitriolic labor unrest, including a year-long strike at Watsonville Canning. I think it was a lot longer than that. At Watsonville Canning, my friend Sergio Lopez was running the union at that time.
18-month strike.
Yeah. That was marked with extreme violence and rioting plus firebomb attacks on executives' homes. The strike managed to bankrupt that company. If I were an owner of plants all around the world and had to choose which plant to close, I might be tempted to close the one in the area of most problems. Thank you, Alan in Watsonville. Thank you, Owen and Salinas. Our next caller is going to be George in Hollister. George, thank you for calling KSCO. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Well, you know, what I would like to point out is you can look for any example of socialism, any place that's occurred in the world, and it's always imposed by by regulation of the state, by the police power of the state, and ultimately by a police state. If you look where capitalism exists, it's simply an artifact of freedom. Where people are free, they spontaneously engage in capitalism. It's an artifact of freedom.
Now, who can argue with that?
I can argue with that.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, obviously, the situation. First of all, in terms of where socialism's happened, there have been a number of socialist revolutions in small places. They have not lasted long. They didn't last long enough to either degenerate in the way that the societies like the Soviet Union did, or actually find a better path to some kind of a future. So you have situations where people in northern Italy in factories nobody imposed this on them. They took over the place in the 1920s. Cities like Turin and Bologna and a bunch of other places where the factory workers themselves took the place over, began retooling their own factories, reorganizing stuff. Eventually they were crushed because they were an isolated attempt at trying to make a different kind of a model. And the big problem, I think, generally is that when you have these examples of socialism where they have actually sprung up in most cases is not where Marx thought there would be most likely to be a successful system, where you have advanced industrialized society and the possibility of actually reducing the work week for people and so forth, but in undeveloped places like China in the day, so the Russia, which became the Soviet Union, Cuba, these places where they've made these revolutions. If you want to look at what socialism is a possibility now, you wouldn't be looking at these places where it was a military takeover by a party, a totalitarian party and a third state.
Isn't Cuba a police state?
It's largely a police state, and it's gotten very little to do with Marx's idea of a democracy run by workers. It's run by a party, a political party,
but
that's a total distortion of what Marx was in favor of. Complete distortion.
You can't take the earnings of the productive and give them to the unproductive infinitely length of time before you have to impose it by a police state. It just can't happen. People won't
tolerate
it.
This is Bill Wattenberg. I'd like to ask one question. Again, Mike, you throw these things out as if they're significant. Tell me about Turin. I just happen to remember I read a brief history of that factory operation you just talking about. Tell me about that. You said they were crushed. Tell me how they were crushed when they took over and wanted to manage their own production. Tell me about that, would you?
Quickly, at the end of World War One, Italy, and like much of Europe, was destroyed economically and in a very weak position. And governments themselves were often being overthrown. There had been, at the end of World War One, we don't hear much about this, but there had been...
But how about Turin? Come on.
Let me say, I'm just trying to lead to this, say that all over Europe, there had been mutinies in the army and so forth as the war came to a close. The factory workers in northern Italy, in a number of these cities like Turin, like in Bologna, the two that I know a little bit more about than others, but there were
several... Yeah, and Milan as well.
Milan. Several cities. Basically, the workers, not organized by, you know, the Soviet Union or...
Yeah,
some
but
outside
look, what
force,
is it to produce? Tell us why they got crushed.
They took over their factories.
Sure they did, but why did they get crushed? You said they were crushed. Who crushed them?
What happened is there have been, within the Italian government, there were two forces, basically the older forces before.
Come on. They produced some well-known products that weren't competitive. They couldn't sell them. They fell flat on their face and on their ass, okay?
No, what they were never in a position to...
For God's sakes, how can you could twist this stuff?
No, the first thing
I remember vaguely just reading about this 40 years ago. Come on.
Look what they did. They were very idealistic. They took over these factories.
No, you take these things and you twist them.
No, Bill, let me say something. Let me say one sentence before you interrupt.
Yeah, they
took over these factories. They began retooling them. Instead of making luxury cars, they started making tractors and stuff that they could send out to the countryside so low-income people out there could, you know, benefit from it. They had in mind a socialist revolution in which they were going to totally change the relations of everything going on. So that was their model. They were very isolated from the rest of Italy and the rest of Europe. And so not surprisingly, since they did not capture the Italian government or the military or the police, eventually those forces came back in, reestablished this control of the capitalist society, and turned those factories back over to the capitalists that had owned them before. That's what happened. It was an attempt at a socialist alternative. People showed they could run these factories. They were capable of reorganizing them and retooling them. But in the end, you can't have a socialist revolution in one little place because the rest of the forces...
Oh, one little place. You mean, well, how does it start? If you can't, the people can't go produce a product and stay alive and even feed themselves, you say that's because the rest of the world doesn't join them instantly? Is that what you're saying?
They actually were doing quite well feeding themselves. They worked out relations with farmers.
Hey, you know, this is the Trotsky attitude.
No, no, no.
God, I remember enough of that from 3 hours of
Turing,
study.
What makes
he believed socialism could never take on unless you had international socialism. This is what you're telling us now.
Look, in Turin, what made it interesting was that they had been successful economically. They managed to make deals with the people they were shipping out farm implements to send them back food. It was working quite well as a small scale. It's only one city, a small scale, or three cities, small scale experiment.
You skip over the fact that getting food and barter did not satisfy the workers. They are the ones that destroyed the thing. They are the ones that balked.
Absolutely
they
not.
They borrowed
nothing
money
from
the Bank
Bill,
of Italy.
Usually you're pretty good with your facts. Spend a little time looking at the history of that revolution, 1920 in Turin, Italy, because it actually economically was quite successful.
Are
it
you suggesting an army? You said crushed. Did an army walk in and crush them? Did somebody walk in and shut them down?
The Italian
army?
The Italian army under the new government that had been formed in 1920 after the end of World War One.
The army was involved only to the extent of putting down the strife and the conflict that was developing in their by their own means. Come on now. How can you twist this crap and teach it at the University of California's course?
There's these people. They've taken over several factories, all the major factories in the city. They have taken it over. You would not like that. Because
hey, guys.
They took
no, I didn't say that at and, all. I think
and
it's
in
an
the
ugly
end,
idea.
In the end, they started
break.
Working on an alternative model, and eventually they were crushed by people who did not like what they
no,
were doing.
No, they fell
That's
flat
what
on their Ooh. Ass, on their faces.
Not guys, actually
guys. Okay.
Guys, KSCO is going to fall flat on its ass if we don't run the commercials that we need to do. So let's do that, and then we're going to come back with Rose in Scotts Valley and hopefully Rory and Dawn and Per. Oh, my God, all these people. Go ahead, take it away.
It's time to get your RV and trailers ready to roll. Hi, I'm Rena Mills of RV Service Center of Santa Cruz, your locally owned RV parts and repair center with over 36 years of service to the Central Coast community. In addition to RV repairs, our qualified staff services and maintains boat, horse, and utility trailers and toy haulers. We also restore vintage RVs and work hand-in-hand with all insurance companies to ensure your RV is restored to its original condition. Get your RV and trailers ready to roll with the help of your friends at RV Service Center. You'll find us easy to reach and easy to use at 2525 Mission Street, cross street of Mission and Swift in Santa Cruz. 831-427-0881. Again, 427-0881. Or you can email us at rvscsc.com. Again, rvscsc.com.
Hi, I'm Nikos. I'm the owner of Terrabella Landscaping.
I really liked your process. I liked the fact that you came here for several sessions, and we talked and just talked about the kinds of things we wanted, and you heard that and were able to put that into a concept that then we were able to kind of tinker with and play with a little bit. And then, I mean, I think it was just a matter of great execution after that. Digging out the hardscape that was in front and then repurposing that for some of the other elements in the front yard. And then, of course, the pavers in the backyard that make up the wall for the vegetable garden, all of that was reused. There's almost nothing in this yard that is the way it used to be. It's really incredible.
We're Terrabella Landscaping, Santa Cruz, California, 831-479-1629 or at gardensforalifetime.com.
The Palo Alto Medical Foundation Santa Cruz and Sutter Maternity and Surgery Center are pleased to present the 15th Annual Senior Health Fair on Saturday, May 19th from 8 a.m. to noon at the Sutter Maternity and Surgery Center, 2900 Chanticleer Avenue in Santa Cruz. This event is open to the senior community and is free. For more information about the Senior Health Fair on Saturday, May 19th, call 479-6628 or visit pamf.org/seniorhealth.
There's a new newspaper in the Monterey Bay area, and it has real news in it. Hello, I'm John Chown, publisher of the Monterey Bay News and Views. As a longtime area news editor, I know how important it is to get you the news, and we are doing just that in the News and Views. Here is what you will find in our latest edition.
We preview all six county Board of Supervisors races in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties. Talk to restaurant owners and workers on the Monterey Wharf about a new anti-barking ordinance. Take a look at a neighborhood dispute over a planned community garden in Watsonville. Preview a new award-winning film made on Monterey Bay about a rescued sea otter pup. Take a walk through the land of Medicine Buddha. Announce the newest city council member in Carmel. Visit the Steinbeck Festival and much more. Check out our website at MontereyBayAreaNews.com.
You already know what's on at the movies this week. But if you want to know what your local government is doing, or who is doing all the moving and shaking from Scotts Valley to Carmel Valley, pick up a copy of the Monterey Bay News and Views, available everywhere it matters.
Check out our website at MontereyBayAreaNews.com.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits.
Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
From Positiepo to Pebble Beach, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
Okay, we're in the home stretch of the program, less than 5 minutes left, but this just in, bulletin. Yeah, Mike's got to go. I assume Dr. Bill has to go here, but Dr. Biles and Donald Davidson advised me that for those of you who are on hold now and want to continue this topic, they're more than willing to do that next hour on perspectives. Before I forget, you like this riveting? I think this is a great program. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Bill. KSCO special, this KSCO Saturday special has been presented by KSCOteam.com. You like this radio station and want to help us continue to survive and thrive? You like your body and want to help it continue to survive and thrive? Go to KSCOteam.com. And by Beyond Tangy Tangerine, they're talking about this company becoming the next Herbalife now. I mean, that's how phenomenally successful this is getting. And when they get more successful, so do we. KSCOteam.com, by Beyond Tangy Tangerine and EFA Plus. You'll feel good that you did. Back to the phone lines we go now. Let's see, we're going to take Rose in Scotts Valley. Rose, welcome to the Saturday special with Bill Wattenberg and Mike Rotkin. You're on.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciated having a heads up about this interview and conversation, positive conversation between Michael Rotkin and Bill Wattenberg. And certainly so many of us have been looking forward to this for a very, very long time, and I'm sorry they're leaving. But there was a couple of things from their conversation.
Well, I haven't asked Bill yet. He might have some extra. But knowing Bill, he's pretty darn busy here. So whatever.
Well, hey, look, if there are callers around, I'll stick around for a while.
Okay,
but
great.
One sided. Right. You need Rotkin here.
Just a few pieces of trivia. Okay. Back many years ago, I was interviewed by the Santa Cruz Sentinel as to why do you think that the city of Santa Cruz has so much influence and the rest of the county doesn't. It's very simple. In the state of Florida, college students are only allowed to vote in local elections. When the university was built, and God bless it, it has been a blessing in so many ways to the county. But on this, there is no way that somebody can send a wild kid up to UCSC for a so many advanced, from the time I was a young person, degrees. But the fact that they're allowed out-of-state people, young people, to vote in local elections is not okay. voting in a national election, of course, you know, since...
Okay, Rose, make a point here. You're sort of, you know...
She sort of made, I think, yeah, that she's okay, concerned good. That students have too much influence.
All right,
in
that's
the city.
One.
Okay, good.
So let me just say quickly that you should know one fact, Rose, which is in the last election, 12.5% of the... voters were registered UCSC students, which means that they're a block, they have some impact, but they're not running the city of Santa Cruz at 12.5%. And that's been a pretty steady statistic for at least the last 20 years. So I think people perceive that they run stuff more than they actually do.
Okay, let me skip to subject two because I think it's more important.
Okay, real quick.
Are you familiar with the works of Alexander Solzhenitsyn?
I've read one book by him, The One Day in the Life, yes.
Okay. Now, after the time of Karl Marx, when Lenin became prominent in influence with the intelligentsia in Russia, there was millions, not thousands, not hundreds, of people murdered or sent to gulags when the Marxist revolution occurred. Are you familiar with that?
Actually, just quickly, Lenin was dead by the time that all happened. They had a revolution in 17, a civil war for 3 years that killed millions on both sides. And then when Stalin ended up taking power after 1926...
No, people were taken from their homes and murdered.
Absolutely, but not by Lenin.
And they were sent to gulags, and Solzhenitsyn was one of them.
Right, but that all happened after Lenin was dead, just so you know. I mean, I'm not saying that Lenin didn't pave the way to some degree for that sort of stuff happening, but he was dead.
You know what's funny?
We got 20 seconds left of this program. We're going to have to cut to the news, but we will continue the topic. Mike won't be here, but maybe if he can listen on the way.
Well, thanks for calling, Dan. Thanks for inviting me on, Mike. Nice talking to you, Bill. Take care.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. I hope to see you again here in the not too distant
future. I'm sure you will. Take care.
Yeah, have a good one. There goes Mike Rotkin. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. For those of you who are on the phone now on hold, we will continue this into next hour. So stay with us. Here is CBS News.
From Capitola to Carmel. Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
Two new bandwidths of ultraviolet light have been emitted from the sun, started in 1992. Now, I asked them, I said, well, look, is this going to cause more cancers, this ultraviolet, these frequencies? No, that's not the kind that would bother us in that respect. What we are concerned about, they said, was when these frequencies hit the Earth, what they're doing is they're hitting plankton and microorganisms in the sea that are absorbing it and heating up the sea. Now, this changes our weather and our climate, in essence. What we're seeing now is just the thin edge of what is about to happen. We're going to see a huge, huge increase in dynamic storms, hurricanes coming over land and lasting a lot longer than they should, many more tornadoes, lightning storms that will astound you, winds that are unbelievable. And even without hurricanes or tornadoes, some of these winds are going to be like microbursts dropping down out of the upper atmosphere and smashing trees and forests like they've done on the odd occasion in the past. It's going to be extremes of weather, extreme cold, extreme heat, extreme storm. These are all sun-driven. And we've also got a cover-up going on at the moment about something happening with our magnetic field. The Japanese facility that's been with a supercomputer modeling how the solar wind, again the sun, hits our magnetic field and bends it around the Earth and affects us with, the solar light, with polar lights and with CMEs and things like this. They model that, and I saw it myself. I've been watching the pictures they take and from the data that's gathered from the satellites. Suddenly, 3 or 4 weeks ago, they shut the site down. They shut all of their archives off. You can't get to what we wanted to see about what happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The sun hit our magnetic field. Normally it makes a very high pressure wave on the sun side of the planet when the solar wind hits us. This time, it appeared on the back side of the planet, which is impossible. There's something very weird happening with our magnetic field, and tests that I've had people do in Australia and here and overseas and in northern Alaska all show that something is wrong with the Earth's magnetic field and its gravitational field. It's flip-flopping inside in small amounts. So this rumor, as it were, of a magnetic pole shift in the planet, I think we're starting to see signs of this now as the current magnetic field is weakening of the whole planet, and it will go through this flip-flop stage and then rebuild.
Now, here's a silly question for you, Stan. Does that You know, it's amazing. People have all sorts of opinions on big things like God and the origin of the universe, but these same scientists cannot actually explain gravity. So it's like, shut up and just stick with the rudimentaries for now and just contemplate the cosmos later. But a few weeks ago, you were able to stand a broom up, and it would stand there by itself on its bristles. I haven't been able to do it since. And several people did it. I was all over the net. I mean, did this magnetic aberration affect gravity, in your opinion, to the point where these little tricks could be done? I mean, there's been a period in time recently where you could stand an egg on one of its ends, and it would just stand there. You can't do that now.
Well, gravity and magnetism are similar phenomena, and they're somewhat interlinked on our planet at the moment. Yes. One of the experiments I've been having these researchers do with me all over the planet is to take a copper wire and stand it up vertically. Okay, and this copper wire, you take the one end of it and tape it to the ceiling, one end to the floor. And about the middle of the wire, you hook a little piece of reflective mirror or, you know, some of the stuff you peel off of a DVD when you break it, so that you can shine a light from the side of the room. You can shine a light on that little reflective mirror, and it'll cast a white light dot on the wall. Now, take both ends of that wire, one to the ceiling, one to the floor, and attach other wires that go to a car battery on the floor. And hook the wires up, except for one of the poles. Don't hook it up on one side of the battery, but tap it, because the wire will get hot when you short out the battery like that. But when you tap it, it will cause that wire to twist either right or left. Now, what I found out over the last 3 or 4 years of testing with people is that here in Colorado, I would tap the wire, and it would bend. If you're standing looking at the wire, it would twist around so that it was going in a clockwise direction, move that white dot on the wall clockwise. The same time, down in Australia, when they did the same experiment, used the same polar hookup on the battery, and tapped it, it would go counterclockwise. Well, okay,
oh, so
you say, why does that happen? Well, that's interesting. A year or two went by in this process, and I tested it again, and my twisted wire went the other direction up here. It reversed.
Oh, so gotcha.
I called the guys down the street, theirs reversed. What the heck is going on?
All right, let's take the, you think you know. I want to hear what it is. Now, we've got a break coming up. We have to take them. That's just how it is in the radio biz. We are not madmen. We are radmen. We have to do it. So let's hear why that happened when we come back. We'll talk about Nikola Tesla and UFOs and just everything we can come up with when Coast to Coast AM continues.
Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean,
I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dave Allen here. Now you've heard me for years talk about VitaminGoddess.com, chocolate flower power drink. Well, guess what I did? I put up a website where you can see all these things in one spot. That's right. Flower power drink, lovely, delicious stuff. Vitamin Goddess, and the famous Obama bib for adults. Traveling down the road, dashboard diner, just don't want to be a pig slop all over yourself, the Bobby bib, go to RadioDaveStuff.com. Once again, RadioDaveStuff.com. RadioDaveStuff.com. Check it out. And there's also some free things up there. Free! free music, free downloads, free things for your buying, for your soul. Check it out, RadioDaveStuff.com. Once again, RadioDaveStuff.com.
You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz,
a Zwirling Broadcasting Station.
CBS News, I'm Tom Foti. Yemen, a place set to be the home of much anti-American terrorist planning, is more and more the site of attacks by pilotless American planes.
Officials say apparent U.S. drone attacks have killed several suspected al-Qaeda militants, even as Yemeni government troops press an attack against militants entrenched in the southern part of the country. CBS News senior national security analyst Juan Zarate.
These are individuals who are battle-hardened and who are willing to fight and die to the very end and to drive their movement against the Yemeni government, against the Saudis, against the Americans.
He says Yemen has become a hotbed for terrorists and the United States is doing what it can to cool things off. The militants are trying to take advantage of political upheaval that forced out Yemen's longtime leader. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
A former Taliban minister in Afghanistan who was part of recent peace efforts has been shot to death in the capital city.
It is a blow to efforts to talk to the Taliban because it obviously shows there are people there who don't want any part of the talks. It would discourage other people from pursuing this line of peace, but it doesn't end things because things weren't moving that well anyway.
CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi in Kabul. In Israel, Shimon Peres is out of the hospital. He is the 88-year-old ceremonial president and Nobel Peace Prize winning former Prime Minister. Peres had hernia surgery. Some of this nation's most courageous police officers got some of their due from President Obama and Vice President Biden in the Rose Garden. 34 officers honored for their roles in dangerous standoffs, shootings, and rescues.
They didn't flinch. They didn't back off. They're people who are alive today only because of their courage.
The man who would most like to be presiding at events like that next year, Mitt Romney, was presiding over commencement at the school founded by Jerry Falwell in Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberty University. He talked a lot about faith and religion, not so much about politics, but he did repeat his differences with the president on same-sex marriage. While some in the crowd welcomed that, others did not.
Students were a little frustrated that he said that because they didn't want it to be a political, divider thing, and then think they just didn't want it to be political.
Correspondent Jim Krasula covered the Romney appearance and the commencement ceremony itself.
It's an annual rite of passage each May. Millions of college graduates beginning the next chapter of their lives. What's on this co-ed's mind?
More or less just making all the right decisions. I mean, I actually have a lot of opportunities on my plate, so I have a lot of things to be thinking about. Is my biggest concern, which way is the right way?
Ashley Rhodes is a communications graduate of Liberty University. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Lynchburg, Virginia.
One school in deep mourning this weekend, Boston University, which got word from New Zealand that three of its students studying there were killed when their minivan crashed during a weekend trip. At least five other students were injured, one of them reported in critical condition. The sports note, LeBron James of the Miami Heat picks up the NBA's Most Valuable Player Award. That is the third time he has won that. This is CBS News.
For a long time, I was like, I don't want to date. I want to have a big career first. But now I feel that life's not about waiting.
Match.com is a great way to meet people like you who are ready to start a relationship. And now you can get 7 days to find that connection free. This offer is for a limited time and only available at our exclusive website, TryMatch.com. That's TryMatch.com.
It was so easy. I thought, what have I been waiting on?
Just visit TryMatch.com for details. That's TryMatch.com. Join today.
All multivitamins claim to be complete, but when you read the label, you're often only getting the basics. Only Centrum goes beyond, providing key essential nutrients and more, with quality ingredients, so I know I'm at my best. And it's backed by over 30 years of science. Centrum, always your most complete. Look for valuable savings in this Sunday's paper.
Law enforcement around Los Angeles is looking for an FBI agent who has not been seen for more than 24 hours. He's described as distraught, possibly suicidal. We'll talk about a magazine cover with Buzz, Time Magazine's breastfeeding picture of a standing mom and a standing son, not quite a baby, has folks talking, including the mom's mom.
Time cover model Jamie Grumet, whose son is seen nursing while standing, was herself nursed until she was 6 years old. Grumet's mother, Margie Morjek.
In the 80s,
I was affected because people did not want to see, you know, me nursing as much as I was.
Grume poses for the cover as an advocate for attachment parenting, which supports extended breastfeeding and co-sleeping.
I have all the confidence in the world in her. Hey, she takes after me.
Margie Schaefer, CBS News, San Francisco.
And speaking of moms, it is now Mother's Day, so have a happy. Tom Foti, CBS News.
Does being over...
Jeff, I'm home.
Hey, Mom.
So, what did you do today? I noticed the dishes are still in the sink.
I've been busy.
Getting your taxes done like we talked about?
Oh, I got my friend Dave on that. Hey, he's only charging $20.
Not Dave from your high school class who graduated 3 years late.
Yeah, he's good with numbers. Won our fantasy football league last year.
Jeff, I can't believe you would actually take your...
Kidding, Mom. I took all my paperwork over to that preparer just like you recommended.
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Visit IRS.gov for some do's and don'ts. Like, look for a preparer who has a preparer tax ID number and signs your return. Check out their qualifications and review your tax return before you sign it.
Oh, Jeff, why do you do this to me?
Mom, you're just so easy.
IRS.gov. It's the best tax tip of all.